And a pleasant good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture from the Meridian Manufacturing Studios. While a longtime veteran of Capitol Hill trade politics cast new doubt on the chances for congressional action regarding the Trans-Pacific Partnership trade deal in a lame duck session, former chairman of the Senate Finance Committee, Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley, says election year politics seemed likely to stall the trade deal even after the elections.
I'm not sure it's even going to come up in lame duck. For instance, if it's going to come up in lame duck and it's got to sit before Congress 90 days before we can vote on it, the president would have to propose it in September. And he's not going to do that in the middle of a presidential election if his candidate, if his political party is protectionist.
Also, both Democrats, Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders, opposed the TPP, though Clinton lobbied for the trade deal while serving as Obama's Secretary of State. Republicans Donald Trump and Ted Cruz have also voiced opposition to the trade agreement on the campaign trail. Grassley says the U.S. regression regarding the TPP could cause self-inflicted wounds.
When you have four out of five people running for Congress based on protectionism, America isn't setting a very good example. But I don't think that it's going to hurt the rest of the world as much as it's going to hurt America.
House Ways and Means Committee Chairman Kevin Brady, a Texas Republican, says he'll schedule panel work on the TPP this summer, but only if the Obama administration resolves key concerns on pharmaceuticals, financial services, tobacco, also some other issues. From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, you're listening to Inside Agriculture on 910. Classic Country, KCJB in Minot, as well as Ag News 890 and Farm News in Rio Country, Thunder 106.1 in Lisbon and Fargo, North Dakota. Well, for several years, lawmakers have repeatedly blocked the U.S. Department of Agriculture from implementing a 2008 Farm Bill provision that would provide needed contract protections for farmers. Through appropriation bills, lawmakers snuck in language barring USDA from implementing the provision known as the Grain Inspection Packers and Stockyard Administration, or GIPSA rule. Last year, however, Congress finally let up and did not include any roadblocks to finalizing the GIPSA rule, allowing USDA to move forward. But this week, farm policy took another punch from Capitol Hill when the House Appropriations Committee passed an amendment to block implementation of the GIPSA rule. Barbara Patterson, a government relations representative for National Farmers Union, called the committee action an attack against family farmers.
Today's family farmers and ranchers are operating in a very highly concentrated market, especially in the livestock and poultry sectors. The GIPSA rule would address abusive contract and marketing practices for producers, things like prohibiting retaliation against farmers who speak out to USDA or to Congress about unfair practices. We've been really hopeful by the progress we've seen within the last year towards implementation of these important set of rules, but today's actions by too many members of the House Appropriations Committee are shameful. This amendment is a direct attack on the basic rights of family farmers and ranchers.
The amendment aims to block funding from being used to implement the final rule. It also includes language that would bar USDA from writing rules that addressed unjust discriminatory practices and require the contract holder to be transparent in how pay is calculated.
Over the past several years, we have seen similar appropriations amendments introduced and unfortunately passed into law. But last year, Congress took a step in the right direction and removed any roadblocks to finalizing GIPSA from the budget bill signed into law last year. The fact that the committee would be willing to ignore this nationwide support for GIPSA for basic protections for farmers and erase the progress made towards implementation and choose ultimately big business over family farming is horrendous.
Before this amendment was introduced, USDA had pledged support of a well-balanced approach towards implementation of the GIPSA rule, and several members of Congress had expressed a renewed commitment to work on finalizing the rule.
In March, we were pleased to hear Secretary Vilsack pledge his support towards making GPSA a priority during the remaining months of his tenure. We've also had several congressional champions for agriculture and for family farmers speak out in support of GPSA, including Representatives Marcy Kaptur of Ohio and Shelley Pingree of Maine, who both strongly advocated in opposition to this damaging amendment at today's appropriations markup hearing. We applaud the efforts of these lawmakers and of USDA, who have been working to provide fairness to farmers through implementing the GPSA rule.
Representing nearly 200,000 family farmers and ranchers, NFU pledges to work hard to ensure that today's amendment blocking the GPSA rule never becomes law.
We will continue to work to ensure the voices of our family farm and ranch members are heard on Capitol Hill. We strongly urge the full body of the House to oppose this amendment, and we ask farmers and ranchers across the country to do the same.
For more information, you can visit the Farmers Union website at nfu.org. That's nfu.org. Also, farmers in Canada are going to plant more so-called pulse crops this year as strong demand from India is swaying farmers' planting decisions. An industry poll by Reuters found Canadian farmers intend to plant more peas and lentils than ever before, as back-to-back drought in India has boosted prices and demand for the pulse crops. Pulses amount for a fraction of Canada's planted area compared to wheat and canola, the country's largest crops. India is the world's largest importer of edible oils and pulses, which are an important protein source in the Indian diet. You're listening to Inside Agriculture as we're broadcasting from the Meridian Manufacturing Studios. While the Smithsonian's new Ask a Farmer program gives a museum visitor a chance to talk with farmers and ranchers across the country via live question and answer sessions. Now, Peter Liebold of the National Museum of American History says the goal is to create a respect for modern-day agriculture.
We developed this Ask a Farmer series so that that the American public can actually see farmers in action on their in their farms, on their ranches, really doing their everyday work.
With most consumer generations removed from the farm, Smithsonian encourages visitors to interact with farmers and ranchers and gain a better understanding of where today's food actually does come from.
The chance to meet somebody, to have that conversation, see what a chicken house actually looks like or what a pasture looks like, to see a cow rather than a carton of milk, is a really wonderful experience.
The museum also offers a history of agriculture leading up to modern-day farming practices.
The history of agriculture is really critical for every American to understand, that this is a nation that was built on agriculture, and agriculture remains critical to today.
Also, if you want to learn more, visit AmericanHistory.si.edu. That's AmericanHistory.si.edu. Well, as we wrap up what's going on inside agriculture on this Wednesday morning, February exports of U.S. pork were about steady with last year's volumes, but export value moved lower. Pork Checkoff Vice President of International Marketing, Becca Nepple, said it's been a challenging year.
Well, pork exports are about 23% of our production for the first 2 months of 2016. So a large volume of what we produce here in the U.S. is exported. And that equates to about $42, almost $43 a head. For exports back to producers. And we had some real big challenges in 2015, and the value of exports are down 12%, but volume's up 1%. And if you think that through, that has a lot to do with the currency and challenges that we've seen with our competitors and basically currency around the globe.
The U.S. pork industry is seeing success in Asia, but traditionally strong markets like Mexico and Japan are down.
Some of our greatest importers for the year have been far, far away from here in Oceania region, so New Zealand and Australia, also the Caribbean. We've also, some of our number one volume market is Mexico. That's down for the year, and that has a lot to do with currency and also what's going on their market with domestic production of pork. And Japan is also down. China and Hong Kong are up 86% from a year ago at this time. So if you equate the first 2 months of this year to last year, China and Hong Kong were up 86% in volume. So those markets are really opening up to U.S. pork, which is helping us balance out a little bit from some of the other markets that are down due to currency, market access, other issues.
And the Pork Checkoff partners with the U.S. Meat Export Federation to build international demand. Again, Becca Knepple, Pork Checkoff Vice President of International Marketing. Well, if you're a livestock producer, you got to have horses, right? Of course you do. An animal wellness expert says spring is the time, and that should be expert, says spring's the time for horse owners to contact their veterinarians for vaccinations. Dr. Margaret Meyer from the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, Wisconsin, says horse owners should be contacting their veterinarians now to schedule spring vaccinations and for Coggins testing.
You're going to take your horse outside of your property at all. You need to have a Coggins test, which tests for equine infectious anemia, which is also spread by those biting insects. I recommend rabies, the eastern western encephalitis, which is usually combined with the West Nile and tetanus.
Also, she adds that if horse owners have any questions or concerns regarding their horse health, they should always call their veterinarian. Well, also in news, USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack attributes the announcement by Mexico that the nation will lift its ban on poultry from 14 states, a result of USDA's close communications with Mexico to reduce trade restrictions. Now, the trade restrictions were related to highly pathogenic avian influenza. Mexico is continuing to ban the import of poultry from Indiana, that according to the Hagstrom Report. The most recent avian influenza outbreak in the U.S. occurred in Indiana earlier this year. In 2015, despite the HPAI outbreak, U.S. poultry product exports reached $4.6 million. Vilsack says Mexico has been the largest market for U.S. poultry products since 2010. In 2015, U.S. exports of poultry and poultry products to Mexico reached $1.2 billion. That's a look at what's going on inside agriculture on this Wednesday morning. Catch you tomorrow morning. I'm Farm Director Terry Loomis.